You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Diane.
Yes, it is moi.
How are you doing?
I am great. And I have a lot to say about that movie.
We knew you would.
I can't wait. I'm telling you, I've introduced that movie to so many people, and I'm excited to hear somebody's input on it.
Oh yeah.
So we'll get to that.
Okay, cool. So are we live, or are we going right?
Well, first off, Diane, you haven't met Rose yet. Rose, Diane.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Diane. May I say what an honor it is to meet you.
Oh, so nice. And you have the name of the character from Last American Virgin who was my friend. So I feel close to you already.
So cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Diane, I know that you you said you only had about 30 minutes for us. Is that right?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're making time for us. We'll take whatever you can give us.
That is awesome. I actually have another podcast after this, so it's pretty hilarious. I don't know why, what's happening, but getting popular, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. But you guys are the best. You're the best. So.
Aw. Yeah. We won't tell those other people.
Right, exactly.
The others.
The others.
Those other ones, yeah.
Okay, so then we'll just get started then. Because we definitely don't want to squander our minutes with you.
So there's Rose and Dave.
And Scott.
And Scott. Okay, good. Just want to make sure. All right, got it.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Ghostbusters. Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
It to each other. And party on, dudes!
This is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey, y'all.
And I've got Scott.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be back.
And returning guest, 80s medieval babe, Diane Franklin.
Hello. actually, I should say cheers. Cheers to everyone.
Oh, there you go. we're having Diane back because what we did was we gave each other a homework assignment at the tail end of our last conversation. And the homework assignment was basically that we would watch the movie Terrorvision that Diane starred in, and Diane would watch a movie that Scott subjected us to called The Forbidden Zone, and we would exchange our thoughts as far as, you know, what we felt about these movies and kind of, you know, our viewpoints. And I actually believe that everybody did their homework, which is really unusual for this podcast.
Oh. Yes, when you're an adult, you do homework because it's fun, not because you have to. So,
well, it's like one of those things where it's like you've got to listen to this album or you've got to watch this movie, and we're like, okay, and then life happens, life gets in the way.
It's too much fun. It's just too much fun to watch something. And I'm really glad you made me see it, or you suggested it. I'm really glad you did.
Wow.
Okay. So
this, I can't wait to hear.
We should talk about Terrorvision first, I think, because I'll probably have more to say on the other movie. So.
Okay. Okay. So so Terrorvision. I don't want you to like hate me, Diane.
No, go ahead. Go bullet. Okay. Put it out there. Just be honest what you felt.
Okay. And here's what happened. I went into watching it, and I had forgotten that part of the conversation that you told us, where you had said the goal was that you had to be satirical, or it was kind of a caricature of.
Yes.
And I'd forgotten that part of the equation when I was watching it, and I was like, you guys were just too over the top, and it was too campy. And
right.
I'm not a horror genre person to begin with, so right. for me, it was difficult to watch.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I'm glad you said that, because it just goes to show that people enjoy, you know, different people enjoy different movies. Everyone's got a different taste. And
right. It's
so interesting you said that. It's like how you come in to watch a movie. If you come into it, like, if you know, if it was like, you know, a Saturday night and, you know, you've been drinking and you were like, you wanted to just hang out and like, oh, what's this on? You know, it creates a whole different feel than it is like, okay, watch this movie. So I really think it's very important for people to understand when they watch a movie, it's like when you have somebody tell you something's great, like, if you go in there looking for something as opposed to just going, how do I feel right now? What do I want to see? It makes a huge difference of how, like, you take it.
Right.
So I definitely, you know, you go see a movie, you have to, like, say, okay, you know, I've got to be sort of in the mood, or you got to, like, just – you got to be in that head. But I have people who are – this is what happened with Terrorvision, which is so funny based on what you said. It is over the top. It is a live action cartoon. Some people love it. They obsessed with it. In fact, it became like a cult hit, and people like followed me and like, you know, like they have a website for it, and it was just kind of crazy. So I was surprised when it was resurgent, you know, became a resurgence of it, because I had no idea that this film would even be looked at now, you know?
Right.
Okay, so continue. I'm just cutting you off, but go ahead. You can, you know.
Yeah, no, and that was my thought. And really, what I was curious about, and it's going to be a question back, but I think maybe we should go around the horn and have everybody give their opinion. But I do have a follow-up question, because I'm really curious to find out that once you – how the script came to you and how you read it and said, yeah, I'm in for this.
Got it. Right.
But Scott – What do you think of Terrorvision?
Okay, so I'm going to say that there's – I believe there's two movies, maybe two movies. This might be the only movie that's actually said. But your line, barf me out, was just – it wrapped up a lot of thoughts for this. Now, it wasn't because it's about barf, but it was really just – you were right about it being a spoof on the 80s. Like, there was a lot of, like, the swingers, the whole swingers thing was, that was hysterical. It was, I'll admit, it was not easy to get through the whole movie.
Yes, I understand.
It's not easy to get through the whole movie. It's very, very, it's just really, it's a bizarre movie. And the low budget that was probably involved. I was trying to find the budget. I couldn't find the budget on that. And the monster was just really ridiculous. It was ridiculous, but it was really creepy. I mean, there was some weird stuff in there that, you know, I enjoyed it. And I was actually kind of disappointed that you were only in about a total of maybe 20 minutes of it.
Oh,
I thought you were throughout more of the movie.
I thought I was too, actually, but maybe I was.
Maybe 25, 30, but it seemed like you were on the front end and then on the back end, you know, like the first 15, 20 minutes, and then back on the other end, maybe another 20 minutes or 30 minutes or so. It's not a very long movie, so.
Yeah.
I think it's, what, 84 minutes total or something like that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, I, as a person that loves, now I know it's hard to say, as a person that loves movies for how cheesy they can be or how bad they can be, I love it for that reason, because it's far out there. And that's why I suggested the Forbidden Zone for you. And that's why, I mean, that's where you know where my mindset is then.
You don't have to hem and haw. It's a good bad movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, like, I love, like, it's not even low quality or something. It's just, it's over the top, and it's just. No, you know, if you're going to sit down and watch a good movie, this is not perhaps on your list. But, again, this is hilarious. I mean, like, I think it's a great movie to, like, if you're home and you want to hang out with your friends and you don't really want to pay attention to it too much. I think it's a great movie to watch because it's very colorful and it's like, what is happening in this movie? But if you're sitting down just to watch it, then I don't think that is perhaps, I don't think that's this movie's forte.
Now, the point you made when we talked last, you did say that it would make a good Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes, don't you think?
I agree 1,000%. I think it would perfect for that.
That's exactly what it is.
And all those art, all the art that was on the walls.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Like, I'm glad that you pointed out because I might have missed some of it.
That was awesome. I might have missed some of it.
But I was paying attention to that kind of stuff because you said to pay, you know, the art on the walls because that's why they can't do Mystery Science 3000 Mystery Theater 3000. Yeah. I can't say it's a mouthful. Anyway, I paid attention to the stuff that you had mentioned in the, you know, when we talked last. So it made it even better in that sense that I could pick things out and go, oh yeah, that's a good point.
That's so, right. You got the center of it, and that is a Mystery Science Theater. I'm definitely not saying it's a great movie. I'm just saying some people are obsessed with it, like a Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of thing. They know like all the words and everything. But I also think that it's the kind of it's definitely a B movie, which is like a good, but I think it's like the perfect Mystery Science Theater. I wish that they had made comments through it.
That would have been good. So. You're right, it's dead on for Mystery 3000. So
now you were asking me about why I did the role and
let's go to Rose first.
Rose.
Rose saw it too. Oh my gosh, Rose, thank you.
I watched it today.
Go,
Rose. I completely forgot that my homework, so I sat down to watch it and I had just had lunch and it was just like I got a sudden urge to take a nap. And I thought, and usually if I do that, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I can fight through it. You know, and then of course, you know, it's over and then I wake up. But I was like, no, I'm going to pause the movie. I'm going to take my nap and I'm going to wake up refreshed and I'm going to watch the rest of it.
Well,
and I have to say,
that's impressive.
As 80s music girl, I'm telling you, this was like 80s on steroids. You know, your outfit with the, and I love the hair colors because that's back in style now.
Yep.
It's like multicolor hair, and then you had the little tulle skirts and all of that, and the parents with their weird swinger stuff, and the little kid and the grandpa that, you know, was all into survivalism and was tail jerky and all that stuff. It was just, you know, a combination of things that, you know, all could be entertaining. I honestly can say the only problem I had with it was the goopy, gooey monster guy.
Oh, wow.
He was just, ugh.
Oh, wow. Well, he was very gooey, I have to say. They kept having the
wet. Yeah, he looked like a snot. He looked like somebody who had the flu and they sneezed really hard.
Yeah,
that's what came out of their nose.
Yeah, it was like disgusting.
He was totally just.
It's so funny you say that because, like, to me, just because of all the horror movies that came out after, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is so mild and this can't be that scary compared to what's going on now. But then, now looking at what you're saying, I mean, it is gooey. It is like if you have like a thing about goo, this is going to gross you out.
I know.
any problem with mucus, and you're going to have problems with this movie.
Yeah, no mucus. If you don't like mucus, do not see this.
Yeah, exactly.
Warning.
Yeah, same. And then just a lot of, you know, scenes, you know, with the, you know, Alejandro Rey, Lord bless him.
Oh,
I just loved him
in
everything. He's in the jacuzzi with Cherry, and he's like, oh, what's this? Oh, I know.
Regular Oh, God, you're right. I forgot
about that. It's so gross.
Oh, my God, that's so gross. But see, you're laughing. You're laughing. That's the thing. That's what it's about. It's about it. Oh, my God. I can't believe I saw it. That was so gross. You know what? I think I lived this movie through my role. So that's kind of why, like, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was so disgusting. Oh.
Yeah, you were great at that. Just, you know, the guy that played OD, you know, it was just...
John Grice.
Yeah, John, who was in Napoleon Dynamite, who plays...
Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico, yep.
Yeah.
He was also in another movie that you guys need to check out that was right around the same time as Terrorvision. He was in Joysticks.
Oh, he was? I didn't know that. I have to watch
that. I'm pretty sure. And that was, it was pretty, like, low budget, but it was great. It was a great movie.
Yeah. Okay,
cool. I'm going to check my math on that one and make sure I'm talking about the right guy, because I'm pretty sure he was in that.
Yeah. I loved it. I don't have anything bad to say about it. I think it is what it is what it is. It's like I told the guys, perfect B movie.
Yeah.
You know? And kudos for you actually lasting all the way through it.
Yeah, thank
just
you.
Being
thank
able
you.
To just hold your own. And the acting was a little over the top, but that just made it that much more funny.
Yeah.
No, you know, everybody was just so overly dramatic. And I'm just like, really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It was great.
Yeah.
Totally great.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all those reviews. I think that sort of brings a nice, you know, sense of the film to people who are listening, because it's not for everybody, but if you get it, you know, you'll get into it. But I like movies that are like, I like to watch movies sometimes that are so hard. I don't say hard to watch, but, and I'm not even say bad, because I don't think Terrorvision's bad. I just think that it's not for everybody. But I do think it's a B movie, and I love that. Like, I love B movies. And I love to watch them. I guess that's my personal taste as well. I like great movies, but there's a time where I would like to watch B movies, and Terrorvision definitely fits in that category. But there was also something I wanted to tell you about the film, and that was, first of all, you know, we shot it in Rome. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
No.
Uh-huh. So all those sets were inside a studio, in the Rome studio. And the other thing I was going to tell you is
some set designer went out and actually bought a fountain that had water coming out of its boobs.
Yep. Yes.
Nice.
Or they might have constructed it. I don't know, but that's or you know, like found a boob. They just made little holes and bam, they made that work. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's funny because I have one in my backyard.
Well, then again, you like the. You like the holiday special, so your taste is a little suspect.
Right. I was going to say something about Terrorvision, and that was, I do think that it could have been edited to move a little faster. That was the only thing I remember when I saw it, thinking, ooh, it should be moving a little bit quicker. So today's audience, I would think, you know, like I can see why you like get a little tired, because it doesn't have a pacing. It's like, it could have been fast.
Yeah.
But maybe that's
I got to agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
I think that's the way, a good way to put it, that it could have been paced a little bit faster.
Yeah.
So,
but I love the characters. And, so you asked why I chose to do the film. Well, it's because you have to understand that I've been an ingenue all my life, and finally, I get to play the funny, goofy character, like the character that, like, this girl is, I mean, a punk rocker. She's a valley girl. I mean, I've never been offered roles like that, and I so badly wanted to play that. And so it is interesting because I've always chosen films based on the characters. do I like the characters? Not necessarily the film, but the characters. And so I loved playing that role. And that was what was so much fun. And that is why I went with it. I went, oh my gosh, please let me get this role, because I would love, it's such a different character. I mean, to think that that character is the same person as Karen in Last American Virgin.
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's, yeah, I love your versatility. Like, you're all over the place. You don't really just stick to one role. That's beautiful. That's something that, you know, a lot of people get pigeonholed into the same role over and over again. And I like that you're stepping out and kind of doing different things. That's awesome.
Well, it's like, you know, I mean, it just shows, I mean, it's from my imagination. When I see a role and I visualize what the character's like, you know, it's just kind of like giving me the opportunity to do it is, you know, half of it. So, you know, I know that, like, you know, it, I mean, I appreciate and I love the fact that I got, you know, like the ingenue roles. But at the same time, I really like the, you know, using different voices and characters. And so, like, what's interesting now is as an adult, the roles are there. You know, like, I just played a medium in something, and I'm going to be playing a spiritual woman, a sort of a Reiki kind of healer in a film. And so my feeling is that I like, now comes the variety, actually. When I was younger, I didn't realize there wasn't as much variety, but as you get older, there's more, you know, fun parts to play. So, but that's why I did it. So there you go. And of course, got to go to Rome. That was amazing. So very fun.
Awesome. So now this is the part we want to talk about your homework, Diane.
Uh-huh. Well.
Yeah. So tell us about your thoughts on Forbidden Zone.
Okay. For those of you who have not seen this film, I have so much to say. Okay.
Okay. Set it up.
Here we go. All right. So this is a film that is not for everyone. Again,
agreed.
Not for everyone.
Agreed.
Like Terror Vision, yes. Not for everyone. This is a film that the acting is over the top, like Terror Vision.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, because I agree that definitely is part of it. This is a film that, this is so good. All right. If I was to describe it to someone, I would say a 1920s cartoon come to life, mixed with the Rocky Horror Picture Show-esque characters.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay? So this is full of life. It's got a lot of... it's absolutely creative, genius, creative. Like, the sets, the background, the animation.
Yes.
The positive aspects of it are the creativity, the mm-hmm. music, the mm-hmm. the characters are so big, but yet it's fascinating. Like, you can't take your eyes off it, because it's sort of like, I don't know if anyone's seen the movie House.
Oh yeah.
House, right? So like mm-hmm. House is more realistic,
right?
But it's a bizarre world, and this is the same thing, a bizarre world. In a way, bizarrely, in a strange way, some of it is very ahead of its time. And the idea, like, I looked at that film and went, oh my gosh, whoever wrote this grew up watching these over the top, like these 1920s cartoons where they pushed everything. And okay, so now we get to like the warning label on this, okay? There is sexism, there is racism, there is nudity, there is, I don't know if there's drugs, but there's violence, but it's not bloody, which is the other part of it, which is interesting. It's not a horror film, and I think that to its credit, you can't really coin it. You really can't coin a name on this. I would say that I really was glad I saw it. It educated me. Like, if you're a film person, you have got to see this film. Like, it's got to be in your repertoire, right? You have got to see this. You have to understand. Like, you haven't seen anything until you've seen this film. You can't even call yourself a movie person unless you've seen this film, okay? So let's just nail that. But I don't know if I would watch it again. And that's where I would like to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay.
So what'd you think?
So I have a confession.
Go on.
So I own this DVD.
Uh-huh.
I have watched it probably a good 8 or 9 times.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Seriously. It stimulates my brain. Because it is so freaking bizarre. Like, yes. I've never seen a movie as bizarre and weird as this movie, and my brain thrives on the weird and bizarre stuff. And it just, and that's why that's the first thing that came to my mind when we were talking about strange movies is boom. Forbidden Zone. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It is the weirdest thing I think I've ever seen, and I have to say, I'm glad I saw it. And
Thank you.
Only reason I really wouldn't see it again, you know what the reason why I wouldn't see it again is the pacing. Same thing.
Yeah.
Pacing. And maybe it's because we're all now in a new world of entertainment, so we don't, you know, we're used to little things about a little bit faster. That was the only reason.
We're the microwave generation.
Yeah.
Everything goes in a microwave. 30 seconds later, you're done.
Yeah. I know. I think I suffered from that. And oh my God, the characters, like, oh my gosh.
Like Frenchie or Squeeze It? Chicken Boy? Squeeze It, the Chicken Boy is hysterical.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Squeeze It. Like, where did they come with this idea? Brilliant. I love it. And the chickens were there. And you know, the fact that, like, I mean, in the big picture, it was very funny. Like, I was looking at the story and going, you know, it has a full story and it has, you know, like, you know, it moves to the story. That, you know, Squeeze It faces his fears.
There's a plot,
you know,
yes.
Yeah. And then there were very many moments where I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a 1920s cartoon. When Squeeze It comes out of the garbage can. You know, and then they whack him on the head and then he goes down. There's a lot of, like, when, like, the Three Stooges there. So, like, if you know about film, you're going to watch it and go, oh, my God, that's a Three Stooges thing. Or that's, like... I don't know about somebody who's watching it today fresh. If they don't have any film repertoire in their head, I don't know if they're going to get a lot of the things. And if you get it, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing. Frenchie, I loved. She was the perfect. She was that French. Like, it was the, you know, parody of a French girl, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge parody of everything. Yeah.
A Cupid doll, that Cupid doll girl, you know.
I think we compared it to Betty Boop when we talked about it before.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. She's like a live action Betty Boop, right? Except French. And
the giant head.
Yeah. What was the frog? The frog, was that making fun of the French, or I don't know what was the deal?
What the frog was. I don't know. All I know is
Nine times. Come on.
The frog had sex with the queen at one point, or Frenchie, I mean.
Yeah.
And then there's Hervé Villechaize that they threw in there as the king.
All right. That to me, like, he's so likable and he's so sweet, and you can see where, like. Like, when you watch it, and if you've seen Fantasy Island, you know, if you've seen that later, you look back and you go, oh my gosh, he was just, like, such a sweet guy, and he probably was asked to do this role, and he gets to kiss all these women, and he's like, yeah, okay, sure, I'll do that. So, very cool. Like, I don't know, there was, oh my gosh, audience, you got to see this, I can't even explain.
that's usually my take on it is, like, look, I can't explain this movie to you. You just got to see it. It's out there. It'll be something you will talk about it, even if you don't make it through the first 20 minutes, right, Dave?
I still need my hour and 14 minutes back, man. That's what I gotta say about this movie.
Did you make it all the way through?
I went to the whole thing. Yes.
Okay. And what about Dave? Dave, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And Rose, did you?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad you guys all watched the whole thing. It's so exciting.
You don't understand. See, now, his excitement is the kind of excitement I get on television. It's like, you've got to understand, like, some people just, they love it. And, like, I back it. I, like, love television, you know. I think that it's, again, it's like just the fact that we've all watched it and we've gotten through it and we've been through that experience bonds us. I feel bonded to you guys. So what do you guys think, Rose and Dave? What do you think of it?
As I said before, and I've told Scott, that I want my hour and 14 minutes back. This is just bad on so many levels, and exactly what you had mentioned before with the isms, you know, the racisms, I couldn't get around that. I can't get my head around that.
Okay, you know what? I totally get that, because I looked at that movie and went, you can't really show that movie anymore. But then again,
it's highly offensive.
yeah, it's absolutely, for that reason, I really don't like it.
Right.
Because of how offensive it is. I'll tell you honestly, which is very bizarre. Watching that movie, I kept thinking, oh, I wonder if these girls are going to do like a hashtag me with the guy, Richard, you know what I mean? Like, he made me do this and I didn't want to do it. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, because there's moments in there where you go, those girls didn't want to do that. That's what. So yeah. I don't know. Who knows? That's a whole other story.
But and all the dry humping, I don't know.
There was a lot of dry humping going on.
Yeah.
This is one of those movies that I was like, really, I want my time back that I invested in it. At the same time, you know, we now can, you know, talk about it like we are. And so I'm enjoying this mm-hmm. part of it. So,
yeah,
I had to get through the other side.
Yeah. No, you know what? That's the thing about film and about, I mean, things that we watch is that every opinion is valid. And every opinion needs to be heard, and I think it just makes the the thing more interesting, you know, because if everyone, like, I mean, for me to go no and him to go yes, you know, it makes you interested. I mean, it definitely made me more interested in watching it.
Yeah.
And then I turned it on, and it was like, what is that? It was like, I think again, it was so interesting. I love the creativity, the art, but what's the scum of this stuff he did was really,
it was pushing the envelope, especially back for the early 80s. I mean, these guys were way ahead of their time. It's 1980 it came out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wonder what, you know, and maybe the point was, you know, the other thought I had was, if this was in a cartoon, would anybody be offended? And people were showing that kind of thing, you know, to kids or I don't know, even adults. And that's what really, maybe the point of the film was, look, if this is live action, look how offensive it is. But if it was a cartoon, maybe it wasn't. Though that kind of occurred to me. It would be interesting to find out.
I mean, you look back at some of the 40s and 50s, some of the cartoons that came out back then. And they're heavy in racism.
Yes.
I mean, like Dumbo can't even be shown anymore. Is something I was reading the other day.
Dumbo, because
there's three crows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That are like they're playing this stereotype of black people. It's over the top black, yeah. You know what I mean? Yes. Like it really stereotypes them.
It's caricature and it's messed up and it's not okay. I really am a strong believer that when you show today, that's why I'm saying this film, you have to have some experience watching. You have to have some film experience because
you better have an open mind too.
Yeah. Open, well, I mean, if you're a kid, you don't show this to kids. This is not how you behave. This is
no way. No.
What you think is funny. You don't think this is funny.
Yeah.
But as somebody who does film and watches film, you can show them and they go, oh my God. Like they can take it in as this is something that maybe, you know, I mean, certainly some things we don't want to repeat. I don't know, but then we want to see. I don't know. It's bizarre. I can see why this is, it's streamed or it's rented. You can't just see it on the internet. I see what that is.
So Rose, you, did you want to refresh us on your opinion of Forbidden Zone?
So I watched it, and I remember, you know, Scott saying how weird it was. And I'm kind of like one of those people, if people, like, naysay something too much, I'll be like, I want to see that.
Right.
Or if they build it, I'm just like Mary Contrary. If they build it up like, oh, my God, you've got to see A Star Is Born. And I'm like,
Right.
You know, 10 years from the day, I'll be like, oh, my God, I just watched Lily Gaga and Star Is Born. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, honey, that came out like 10 years ago. I know, but it's just so fresh with the time. But this one was kind of, he wasn't kidding. And I remember... And you know how, like, when you call your dog and they kind of like tilt their head to one side, like to hear you, and they're like, what? Yeah, that's kind of how I watched it the whole way through. I was like, I don't get it. You know? A lot of it I just did not get. Wow. You know, and I'm not like, you know, a pioneer woman or anything like that, but I'm just kind of going, what did you do that for?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it was just to that level of weirdness that I just went, okay, well, you know, maybe they'll clear it up at the next act.
Right.
And they never did. I was just like, okay. Just one of them open-ended things that you're just supposed to accept for.
It would be very interesting for your audience members to also, you know, ask about. I mean, it's super. What do you think? Did you think it was offensive?
Very, very offensive. It was, but to the point to where, you know, I wasn't offended, okay, because, you know, it's a movie. So it's just kind of like it's got all of these elements in it that, like I say, you know, racism and sexism. And I think there was drug use at some point. I thought Frenchie got roofied or something. I can't remember. So it was a lot of like, let's throw this in there. And let's throw this in there. Oh, don't let's forget, you know, this, you know, the schoolhouse scene and all of this, you know, and it's just
that was
like,
weird.
Oh, the school had the ABC song.
Yeah.
Oh, that I think that blew my mind away. That was unbelievable. That ABC song. Oh my god.
Yeah. It was a strange. The whole thing. I mean, you can't say there's like one strange scene in this movie. It's like one strange scene after another. It's just continuous. It's
and
so bizarre.
You can't. This was an example of somebody who made every moment count. I mean. With the girls, those twin girls with their noses up, they're both guys.
Yes. They got
that happened. Oh. He said, I'm going to put that in a film. And I went, bravo to that. Okay.
And this all goes back to Danny Elfman, and his brother Richard was actually the real brain behind this movie, but Danny Elfman was a huge part of it with Oingo, and they did the whole music score. And amazing. I just. As a fan of Oingo Boingo, that's how I got turned on to it in the first place. A buddy of mine that I went to high school with, he's like, hey, Oingo Boingo's involved with this movie. You got to check it out. And I've been watching it for 25 years, 30 years. I mean, I've been watching it for that since I didn't see it until like mid-80s, late-80s or something. I think I'm at 87 or 88. But I've been watching it ever since, and I keep introducing more people to it.
Well, that's what it is. That's the fun. I mean, like I can see
for the shock value.
It is shock. I'm glad I saw it, and I feel like I've grown up.
So let me ask you this: Are you gonna tell somebody else about it?
You know, I am right now because we're doing an interview.
I mean, like if you're having a conversation.
She's telling our five listeners.
Yeah, all you guys.
Like if you're in a conversation and you're talking about, you know, movies you saw or whatever, are you gonna go, you know, I saw the weirdest movie.
I'm gonna tell. There's a guy I know.
Okay,
he's a college student at UCLA.
Okay.
And he sees everything, and I am going to ask him to see it because he's the only person who would get it. He will watch it, and he will give an educated, like, even-keeled, not offended opinion about it. So, because you just can't ask, you know, somebody off the street to watch this. No, that would be like saying, you know, do you want to get shot in the face? I really don't know. You know? Don't ask somebody who doesn't understand that. So,
that's awesome.
You can't.
Okay, so we do me a favor, just personally, if you ever do talk to this guy and he gives you feedback,
I can call you on the show and talk to him because he's really smart. And he knows a lot about film. So
that might be over my skis, but I would really love to just get a message from you telling me what he thought or something.
Got
just something something like
thumbs
that.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. You got it. I'll get
all right.
He loves House, so I think he'd be open to it.
All right. Scott, you've just got to ski down the K-12, man. Come on.
K-12, yeah.
Yeah.
This is pure snow. Do you know what the street value is?
Mountain. Oh, no. Super awesome.
Yeah. So those
that way.
Anybody who watches
with, it's done.
Aw, nice. Everybody who watches now, go watch Better Off Dead because it's a fun movie and that's for Christmas. Okay. So then just let's cut to that, right?
Better Off Dead is way better than The Forbidden Zone.
Amen. Amen.
Way better than Terrorvision, even though our lovely Diane is in Terrorvision too. But Forbidden Zone. No, Better Off Dead is one of the classics of all time.
Yeah, and it's different too. It's not like a normal movie, funny. Regardless either.
No,
it's a fun movie.
Yeah,
Steve Savage Holland, he was involved in that because I'm sorry I missed last week's, but I was being like total lazy. But, and it was just like, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, I wasn't doing anything, so I missed your interview. And I wanted, you know, just to interject here how much I love that movie.
Oh, thank you, bro.
Inception of it. I've been watching it for like Scott's been watching Terrorvision, you know, ever since it came out. It's one I go to at least once a year. I found it on YouTube yesterday. I'm like, oh my God, I got it. Well, I own it. I own it on VHS, you know, and probably DVD, but, you know, it was on YouTube, so it was a lot closer than my bookcase.
Where do you guys live?
I live in Washington State.
In Washington State, got it. Well, if I ever come up there, I'll sign your DVD.
Thank you.
There's a convention, yeah.
I live in the Tampa area.
Oh, I have to get to Florida. For some reason, conventions in Florida, they won't have me there, and I don't know why. It's
really
super weird. I've been trying to get into, like, I don't know, there's what conventions there are. I don't know.
There's Dragon a Comic-Con for sure.
Yeah, right? Well, tell them you want to see me because for some reason, I don't know why. And, like, you know, they've had some other people. I had Deborah Foreman and stuff. I don't know, but whatever. Put it out there. Maybe they just don't know, you know. Maybe it's something, you know, everybody has their own thing. And if they're, you know, sometimes older people don't know these films. And so
let me tell you this.
And I'm in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
Chicago. And so here's the thing, by the way, and for the listeners, if you want a certain actor at a convention, you have to go and request them and then they will go pursue that person because they have to hear it from the audience. So if you say you want me, then I can come and see you. But it's also due with the people that, you know, the convention. So they have to hear it from the people who are going because that's their patrons. So anyway, that's a side note.
So we have a monthly podcast meetup down here in the Tampa area. It's actually in St. Pete. And we just met up on this last Wednesday and everybody goes around the room and kind of tells what their podcast is about. And I told them that we just had an interview with you, Diane Franklin, and of all the podcasts that were introduced, we got applause. Like, they're excited that you were on the show, so I think we're gonna get some exposure there with
that made me cool. So happy.
You know what made me happy? I'm like, I had no idea. Like, I'm like, that's so awesome that everybody knew who you were. They like, oh yeah, Better Off Dead. That's awesome, you know? So, I mean, that's your most recognizable role, I think. Yeah. So
I'm hoping that John Cusack sees it somewhere, and then I will fly in to watch it with him. Or if he does a convention somewhere, to go and get involved and do one with him. Because, I mean, how great would it be to see John and I together? You know? I just think people would flip out. They would lose it.
Yeah, they would. They would lose it.
I'd be like, yay, John, look at this. Right. You know, you have to kick ass. Come on, John, get up. Do his
thing. One of the fun things to do that there's a lot of reunions of these movies going on nowadays. Like when Ferris Bueller hit their 25th anniversary, they showed it on the big screen at Wrigley Field in Chicago, which is where part of Ferris Bueller, they went to a Cubs game. So it's kind of fitting.
Yeah.
So it would be great if maybe, where was Better Off Dead?
Dodger Stadium. They should have just played it at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, because we did the last scene at Dodger Stadium, the last moment. So maybe I should call them and ask them if they'd ever want to do a movie night or something. I don't know, because I know they do play things on the Tron. So
kind of crazy movie night things that everybody's doing nowadays.
Yeah, so. I think, you know what would be funny about doing that? If I'll get Amanda and Curtis to come with me, and what would happen is I'd say, okay, if anybody knows the dialogue, say it.
Everybody
in the stadium going, go that way really fast. They get to know it.
and then go that way.
Right, go that way.
My gosh. My favorite line from the movie, there's so many, but I just have to tell you because the lady that plays Mrs. Smith, Ricky's mom.
Oh, God.
She's so condescending.
She's so funny. Oh, my God.
And she was actually in One Crazy Summer, too, which was great.
Yes.
So they used a lot of the same characters from that.
I was in One Crazy Summer at the end, but they cut me out. It was supposed to be a say hi to John, yeah, at the end. And I walked by in the end and wave, and they had to cut it out for time. But isn't that amazing? But go on, tell me. So what is your favorite quote?
And when she's like, you know, he's bringing you his Christmas gift, and it's a picture. And she's like, do they have Christmas where you're from?
Oh,
you know, Christmas.
Yes. Exactly. That's squeezing up the face. Christmas.
Christmas.
It's so great.
Oh, God. That's a great movie.
I post that that sign. There's a little GIF that says that. At Christmas, so cool. I think I'll probably post it during this holiday season. It just is hilarious. She was such a funny woman. She's unfortunately passed away, but she is a couple of years ago. Yeah, so sad. She made everybody laugh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
She's such a funny woman. Ricky. Right.
You guys sound just like her. That's good. That's impressive.
It's really funny. She's. You guys, I have to go, but just love talking to you. I could talk to you for hours. I hope this was fun. I thought it was a fun idea. So
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And in fact, as you started to talk about your review of Forbidden Zone, I thought I would maybe saw a different movie. So
can I just throw one more show at you?
All right, but I can't watch it. All right,
no,
what?
And you don't. It's called Voyage of the Rock Aliens, and it is the main character is Pia Zadora. Okay.
Now you got me interested.
And it's right up your alley if you love this kind of campy B stuff. It's not a horror movie.
Right.
It's an alien movie. It is fabulous.
I like sci-fi.
It may be one of the. It's like a really really good wrap up and. Cheesiness of the 80s, and I love it so much. I've watched it like 3 or 4 times.
Say it again. Alien.
It's called Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Just look up Pia Zadora. Yeah, just look up Pia Zadora, and you'll find it.
Now, why do you think she did that film?
I don't know, but I was going to ask you if you actually knew her, you know, because it was kind of around the same time as you were in that, you know, you might be in the same circle at that time. I don't know.
No, I never met her, but I would think she'd be an interesting guest to have on, probably.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to have her on. That'd be great.
Well, you're going to have to go find her.
go check that one out, and then Joysticks, another Jonathan Gryce movie.
I was busy doing movies in the 80s, not watching them, and that was really part of it. You know, now I got to catch up, so. But thank you, and I just also want to let, you know, just before I go, let the audiences know, I'm still acting, and I have a movie coming out at the end of February, and that's Amityville Murders. So remember, go see that, and then tell me what you think. I really want to know. I know it's the best performance of my life. It really is, the best acting performance. Cool. But let me know what you think. So there you go.
You want to give your social media credentials real quick?
Sure. Diane Franklin. Okay, what is it? It's Diane Franklin Fans on Facebook. That's a lot of Fs. Facebook, Diane Franklin Fans, and that's under group. So, like, look for black and white photos of me. And then Instagram is actress Diane Franklin. And then Twitter is Diane Franklin 80. And I have so many things coming up. Like, I mean, I've got to do my Better Off Dead book. So, those, you know, whenever you come to a convention, if you wear the coat that I bring, you can submit the picture to me and I'll put in my book, which is going to come out like 2020. So there's lots of stuff going on. So just kind of stay connected with me and we'll find out.
Very cool. Well, we really appreciate your time. Thank you again.
Thank you guys. You are awesome. And I just love being on your show. And this was such a fun thing to do.
Yeah, so, I'm so glad we got a chance to do our homework.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Sorry, yours was a bit painful, but, you know, thanks. Yeah, all right.
All right.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye.
Take care, Diane.
Okay, thanks.
All right. I think she is off. Wow, she was so excited about Forbidden Zone. That surprised the hell out of me.
That's right.
Thank you.
That shocked the hell out of me is what that did.
She looked at it as like an art form, you know, type of a thing. I like the fact that she said that she'd never watch it again. I was like, that's good.
Yeah, and I can understand
fair.
That.
That's totally fair.
That is totally fair. Yeah. I'm weird, okay? I'm odd in the sense that I have watched it several times. I'll probably watch it again, but I'm you know, I'm an exception to the rule in many ways.
Yes. My dear.
No, I'm really glad that she actually, like, she watched it, and I know that she watched it because she picked out certain scenes that I knew, like, mm-hmm. would stand out. Like
that scar sweet, you.
Yeah, squeeze up the chicken boy in the garbage can. You can't just, you just want to pull that out of your ass.
Yeah.
Even remember that part, so.
It was a good breakdown. It was a very interesting breakdown of her of the movie, and I kind of saw it coming. Like when I knew that she was actually watching it, like as the week went on, you know, since we talked to her last week, as the week was going on, I'm going, you know, she seems like that kind of person that she's got that artistic mind. That mm-hmm. might look at this movie and go, well, for the artistic value and the creativity, it's very well thought out, but it's fucked up at the same time.
Yes.
And I agree. I'm 100% on board on that. It totally is.
I didn't even get a chance to mention when she was talking about, you know, the racism and the mm-hmm. sexism that in TerrorVision, you know, they portrayed Alejandro Rey as this bisexual Greek. I'm just like, okay, that's like a mega stereotype against Greek men.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, that's true.
Who ever thought of that one? But yeah.
That was a weird, that was a strange movie too.
It was strange.
Hard to get through though.
I was struggling this week, knowing that we were going to talk to her and mm-hmm. you know, I didn't know how to phrase it, because I don't want to tell somebody who's starring in a movie that movie sucked. But, you know, it's not, I was struggling with the, you know, how to put that politely without, like, her being, you know, screw those guys. I don't ever want to be a guest on their show again. But, you know, I mean... Yeah, it wasn't my genre, and she got it, and I love that. I love that she, you know, is completely understanding, and she allowed, you know, she allows the perspective of, you know, if somebody just isn't into that kind of thing, you know, then so I love it. So I respect her now more than I ever have.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where she was gonna go with like her reaction to how we broke down TerrorVision.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous about like saying, whew, that was a tough one, but it has these values, but
yeah,
it was really hard to watch.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But you really got into it, Rose.
I did, and I really was kind of like, you're upset because I didn't like the monster? Oh my god. It was fancy looking. Oh my god, I can't get into that old distorted, like, Pablo Picasso big eye little eye hand on eye whatever the fuck it was doing and all the goop, and it's like, ah, it's just slimy, it's gross. Yeah. But I guess the that's what made it, you know, what it was. It was terrible.
And what made it a little easier for me to, you know, talk about it, you know, with, you know, as objectively as I was today, was because I went back and I was editing our conversation, and I had forgotten the fact when she said that you should go into it realizing that, you know, it was kind of their job to be a caricature of, you know, these, you know, tropes, you know, from the
80s. It's also best to be of altered mind.
No, yeah, exactly.
That's something else she said. I mean, she didn't say that. It wasn't she didn't use those words, but she said to be drinking. You should probably be drinking when you watch this movie.
Totally sober.
Yeah, this would have been a whole different experience had, like, the three of us been in the room together, watching it together, and just enjoying cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
Then I probably would have had a completely different perspective. But, you know, my viewing of it was, you know, on the train, you know, and I was, you know, bringing it up on YouTube and picking up where I had left off. And it was a struggle.
God, are we there yet? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah. I was like, okay. God,
am I not home yet? Is it not my next stop? Come on. No, you know, even as cheesy and bad as it was, there's still a certain value to that that I love. Like, I hope she goes out and finds Voyage of the Rock Stars, because it's not as weird as, like, sci-fi monsters and stuff, but it's stupid funny. I mean, but anyway.
Yeah. I think
Rock Aliens. Voyage of Rock Aliens. Sorry.
Voyage of Rock Aliens. Like, I think the reason, truthfully, that Pia Zadora did the movie was purely for recognition purposes. I mean, she was trying to make her way in Hollywood. She just married one of the most richest men in the world. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she could sing okay, you know, but she just, I guess she always felt like she needed to be there, you know, out in, you know, wherever you want, whatever the hell I'm trying to say. But, because it doesn't really sound like a very interesting movie, first of all. And I thought I saw it at one time.
What, Voyage of the Rock Aliens?
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, no, it's...
NXT 3000? Which, by the way, has new episodes.
It could
on...
be.
Just so you know.
It would work well on that show.
It totally
really
would.
Well.
Yeah.
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 So, anyway, do you guys want to continue?
Actually, I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
I gotta do stuff.
I got a thing at a place with a
thing. Gotta do a thingy. Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap things up.
How are we gonna cut all that out? do some fancy editing, my friend.
What you mean from when Diane dropped, or I mean, why can't we just keep all that in?
You want to keep all that in?
Yeah,
sure. Why not?
Right.
We were recamping our conversation. I don't see what that's
okay.
That was fun stuff.
Okay.
All right. Unless there's something that you don't think we should have our listeners hear,
I might have to. No, not our. No.
Okay.
No, I think it'll be good. It'll be all right. I'll go back and listen to it, and if anything comes up that's weird, I'll shoot you a message.
All right. That's fair.
All right.
All right. So this is the part.
We didn't. Sorry.
Say it again.
He obviously heard something we didn't. So.
So this part, we remind everybody to go to our website, Banzai Retro Club, BANZAI, retroclub.com, and follow all of our social media links. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Tumblr, Facebook, all that kind of good jazz. So please go out there and check us out. We also have the ability for you to leave us a voicemail on the website, so please do that if you have an opinion of TerrorVision or Forbidden Zone. You know, you're one of the very few people that have seen it. So please go ahead and, you know,
hey,
leave us your thoughts on that.
You know, if you're anybody in Hollywood, you've seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Or shoot us an email.
In it.
Yeah, shoot us an email at McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. And, you know, we have another thing that's on the website, which is a thing called Patreon. Scott, did you want to tell us about that?
Sure, I'll briefly cover that. It is a way to help us help support the show. You know, it's one way of saying, hey, we like you guys. We're glad you're here. We want to keep you continuing to run the podcast and run the website. So it's just a little way to say thank you and help, you know, financially support the show. So go out there and give it and help us out. And, you know, we might present some bonus materials as the days go on.
And speaking of supporting the show, you can also do this thing called a review. And I haven't gone out and looked to see if we have any more reviews, but Rose, did you want to talk about that?
Yes. So we are on iTunes, and we have, you know, the podcast lives out there as well as Podbean and other places, I think. Can't remember. So if you have like an iPhone or iPad or iCarly, whatever,
iCarly,
go out, listen to our podcast and download it, subscribe to it, whatever it is, that S word that you do. And then you listen to it and you go, wow, these guys are so insightful and so ahead of their time. How did we not notice them before? And we'll like, oh, hey, yeah, put that down in words and give us a review, because the more you review us, the higher up the food chain we become. So we want to be the Tyrannosaurus Rexes of podcasting. So thank you so much for your support.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex of podcasts. I love that. Cool. So this is the part where we tell you to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Goodbye.
Ciao.
Take care.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!